Good morning. I'm so glad that you're joining me today. Happy Mother's Day. I just want to say that to all you mamas watching. There's so many different types of moms out there, and we want to say thank you for selflessly serving your children and your families and being with me today. I have the privilege of being here. My name is Melody, and I sing and do worship at Church of the King. So if you ever get tired of watching online, come and meet us on a Sunday. I'd love to meet you. I'm so thankful for my mom, who showed me how to live, how to march by the beat of my own drum, and how to make something out of nothing. And I'll refer back to that in a minute. Today, we're going to talk about what it looks like to lead our children as we follow Jesus in this crazy world. You know, you may look around and you can say, man, this world is crazy, and we live in a crazy one. And you might wonder, what in the world happened? Why isn't it like when I grew up as a child? And so I'm going to give you a tip here, or a secret. I am almost 39, and I was born in 1984. I know, I'm a girl. I'm a woman who told my age. It's going to be all right. Just stay with me. There's all kinds of things you might find out today. Anyway, so I grew up in 1984, and I can look back and think about my childhood now. And I have three little girls, 8, 5, and 2. And my husband and I are just talking and saying, oh my gosh, it's so hard for them in this day and age. And we look back, it's so easy to look back and say, I wish I was there so we could raise our kids because it really wasn't that bad. And I can think about how my mom took time, and my father, but my mom took time to really teach me how to live. And like I said, to march to the beat of my own drum, to be an individual, to have my own identity, and to know who I am and I was in Christ. And I said, it's to make something out of nothing. She taught me how her grandmother taught her. And sometimes you look in the pantry and there's not much, but you say, okay, we could have eggs and rice. And I didn't even know that our family was suffering at that time, that we were living at a lower income. So I say all of that because she kept her head up. She kept a good attitude, and she taught me how to be thankful for what we had and how to trust Jesus because he provides for those who love him. And all of this that I'm going to bring it together and say, I'm going to talk to you about how we can raise our children and our families up, leading by example in this crazy world today. Matthew 24:12 says, iniquity and lawlessness increases, and people's love will grow cold. You know, it really sounds like where we are right now. And it has me asking, is this the end times? Maybe so, but we won't live for another 100 years. So our end times are definitely right now. Jesus talks about how we should live in these crazy times, times like today. He says, grab your Bibles. Here we go. Luke 17:22. The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there, or look here. Don't leave and don't run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Verse 25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as it happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, just stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Verse 30. It will be just the same on the day the Son of Man is revealed. You're not going to wonder, did it really happen? You're going to know. On that day, the one who will be on the housetop with his goods in his house must not go down to take them out. And likewise, the one in the field must turn back. 32. remember Lot's wife. That's what Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Whoever strives to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will keep it. So that verse 32, Jesus never mentioned any other woman in that we should remember. So why Lot's wife? We don't even know her name. The prophet Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters, outlying cities, had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease. But she did not help the poor and the needy. And honestly, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. People are worried about their bubble. It's so easy to get caught in it. Us as moms, parents, even if you don't have children, you're worried about your family, your group, and not worried about your neighbor who could be dying, who could be starving, and you don't even know it. Don't live in the spirit of the world. Genesis 19, God sent angels to destroy Sodom. So Sodom was so bad, God actually sent angels to go and destroy it. But because of Abraham's pleading, who Abraham was Lot's uncle, he had mercy on Lot and his family if they obeyed. So God would have mercy on Lot and his family if they obeyed and they escaped. We're going to pick up in Genesis 19, starting with verse 17. When they, the angels, had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the surrounding areas. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." So remember, the angel commanded what God commanded. Do not look behind you. Don't live in the past. Don't look at what you're leaving. Verse 26, but Lot's wife from behind looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus says. When things get tough, when I come back, when the world gets crazy, don't look at the past. Look at me. Go forward, not behind. So here's a fun fact. In some opinions, salt. Why did he turn her into a pillar of salt? Salt was widely used symbolically in ancient Israel. One way presents as a symbol that confirms like friendship between parties. Jesus told us, be the salt of the world, salt of the earth, good, humble, honorable people. But in this case, I believe it was a metaphor for a no man's land, a desolated land where nothing grows. Psalm 107:34 says, he turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the wickedness of those who lived there. Lot's wife, who was a Sodomite, that was her home. She didn't want to leave where she came from, and she probably was comfortable because she practices that Sodom was practicing. She didn't want to leave there when God said, come on, go forward. She didn't look and trust God. She prioritized her past over God's future for her. She lost sight of God's promise, provision, his purpose, and his power. He cared about them and his follower, Abraham, and his family. That he pleaded with them, save my family. God cared about him. He had mercy. And he gave her the chance to escape that way of life, to live a fruitful life. But because she didn't want to leave her old life, and she was focusing on that. Therefore, I think it was a curse, and it was a reminder that it will be unfruitful. Because it does. It correlates like that. When you follow Jesus, you have fruit. When you don't follow Jesus, nothing can grow. So that's why I think she became a pillar of salt. Everybody has their opinions. And that's mine. She prioritized her past over God's future for her. Clinging to the past, she was unwilling to turn completely away. So now I'm going to ask you a question. And don't be too quick to answer. I want you to think about it for a minute. Are you looking back longingly at sin, or wishing things were the way they used to be before the hurricane, before the pandemic, from your childhood, while you're trying to move forward with God? You cannot make progress with God as you are holding on to pieces of your old life. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Lot's wife got stuck in a place where she was only meant to pass through. Don't get stuck looking back. Don't let your attention to the past outweigh your commitment to the future God has for you. Our next generation is at stake. The next generation is depending on you to follow God to the place He has for you and for them. And this goes for parents, whether you have children. It goes for adults, for people who don't have kids yet, who are longing to have kids, who may not have children, but you might be a teacher and you have influence over children, even over your neighbors, over your friends. That goes for you too. Our next generation is at stake, and we are to lead by example and to teach them how to follow Jesus in these hard times. So I'll ask, where are you stuck? Disappointment, unforgiveness, grief, bitterness, disillusionment, partying too much? What are you fixated on? So, I'm going to say, come with me for a little bit of a journey. I like to call it the definition rabbit hole. And if you've listened to me preach before, I like to define certain words that kind of have me scratching my head. So fixation, what does that mean? It's an obsessive interest in or feeling about someone or something. So what does obsessive mean? Obsession, it's an idea or thought that continually preoccupies or intrudes on a person's mind. So how about preoccupy? That means to dominate or engross the mind of someone to the exclusion of other thoughts. And it feels like each time you go and you define each word, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So that basically, whatever you're fixated on, it is the only thing that you can see. If you're fixated on the past, you can't see what God has for you in the future. You can't see the hope and the life that Jesus has for you. Remember, you can't serve two masters. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. What are you fixated on? See, when you fixate instead of face, you get stuck. Remember Lot's wife. To face something means to confront it impudently. Face it with contemptuous or cocky boldness. That's what impudent means. To face it with contemptuous or cocky boldness. And you see, we can confidently and almost have a cocky boldness. We can face those things all that come our way in the future because we are not alone. Because we have the power of Jesus and we have victory through Jesus. And when we follow Him and we know who our anchor and our hope is, we can defeat and face anything. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed." So mom, dad, do you believe this for your child? Do you believe that the Lord goes ahead? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up your child in the way that they should go. Even when he grows older, he will not abandon it." You may be waiting for that promise to come to fruition. You may have led by example and poured a Christian life into your child, and they have a free will and they can choose to do whatever they want to do. But I'm here to remind you that those words and those seeds that you planted so long ago will not return void, that the Holy Spirit can remind them of those truths and those promises. I'm going to give you a quick example. My daughter Isla, she was dealing with anxiety and fear at school. She still does a little bit. And I was praying for her and praying for the whole situation one day. And I could only teach her what I know. I could only teach her how much scripture I know or how many practices I know. So I prayed for wisdom, and I myself learned coping mechanisms to teach her coping mechanisms, like the 5-4-3-2-1. We have another set of books that teaches you how to work through emotions, small children, what they are. And then one day, we were going through these things, and then I had kind of like an anxiety attack. And I was like, "Isla, I feel like I'm about to cry, but I'm not. I'm just going to breathe. I'm going to work through it." And I asked her, I said, "Baby, can you help me? Can you help me get through this and how to cope through this?" She was like, "Yes, Mom." She said, "Just take a deep breath, as many as you need. it. Look around you and notice the things around you. Feel things, everything.
I'm like, yes, Jesus, it's working. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the wisdom and bringing people across our path. I had no clue what 5-4-3-2-1 was, but in one day, two different people told me exactly what it was. And I just knew that that was the Lord going before me, paving the way, ordaining those conversations with those certain people. You just have to trust Him. We can only teach our children about God and how to live a Christian life if we ourselves know God personally and know how to live a Christian life. So, Mom, Dad, are you looking to the future or the past of your life? Life is tough. We make mistakes. People hurt us. But we have to be transparent and honest with our children instead of acting like it's always a walk in the park and we have zero problems. We have to teach them how to face the future and to not fixate on our past, on their past. So even when life is like a walk in the park, it might be Central Park at night. We know that that is not a safe thing. But here's the thing. We've seen all the movies. We know all the things, okay? What can happen? Use your imagination. But God can be our security entourage if we let Him, because He goes with us. He goes before us and He goes beside us. Luke 17:33, whoever strives to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses it will keep it. Remember Lot's wife. Hebrews 10:23, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. So ask yourself this, am I anchored in Jesus or am I wavering? Hebrews 2:1, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. You see, the only thing that we have to do to drift is nothing. If we don't stay connected to the anchor, Jesus, if we don't read the Word, if we don't pray, we don't praise and worship, it's inevitable that we will drift and go back to who we were in the past. So it's time to take some inventory. Some of it may be cheesy, but just go with it. Do you worry about being blue check verified online more than being verified by Jesus? Are you more concerned with getting likes from others by being loved by Christ? Are you more focused on how many people are following you than you following Him? Is my world more important to me than His kingdom? And do you post more than you pray? If you have a problem in your life, are you running to the text bar and the status? Everybody, I got this. What's your opinion? Do you do that before you say, hey, God, this is going on. I know that you see every detail and it's really hard right now. Please give me wisdom. Take care of this. And you know what? What if you don't put it on Facebook? It's okay to not put all your business out there.
It's hard. It is hard, but we have to know that the one who brings us hope and the one who anchors us down in this crazy, crazy world, He's just a thought away. He is. It's the good news. Jesus is still here and we are not alone. I mean, even He knows that it's hard. Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. God's will for your life. But we're stuck because we lose sight of the hope that Jesus is with us. So what is ahead of us? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. So on that path, as He's directing you, follow Jesus. Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Mothers and fathers, you are taking your children by the hand and leading them. So I ask you, who are you following? I have to ask myself daily, who am I following? Is it my emotions? Is it social media? Is it Netflix? Who am I following? Are you looking back like Lot's wife while trying to move forward with God? We already know that that doesn't work. Are you fixating on the disappointment, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, or maybe even your past great successes? Remember Lot's wife? Or are you facing the future and all that comes with God?
Parents, are you leading your kids by example, sharing the love of Jesus with your neighbors and your enemies? You're teaching them what discernment is in tough situations, what it is to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, how to stop and stop all the busyness and the noise in your house and in their mind. Are you teaching them how to do that and just to listen and to be still and quiet? Are you teaching them that when we mess up, are you showing them what it's like to repent, to accept God's forgiveness, to live in thankfulness and in His grace, and to not live by condemnation and beating ourselves down? Moms, are you teaching your little girls good self-image? Are you talking bad about yourself in front of them? I'm so guilty of that, because what woman isn't happy with their body sometimes, with our emotions? So one thing we started to say, name three things that you love about yourself with my little girls. I love my nose. Not all the time. I love my laugh. I love my eyes. Just those things. We have to teach them and lead by example. Because like that saying goes, so much more is caught than taught.
Psalm 3:13-14 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it." See, I just told you. But I'll focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, press on to reach the end that Jesus has called us to. We got to remember Lot's wife. Do not look back. Focus on moving forward, holding on to the source of hope, Jesus. Now, I know I talked about some challenges. I know I may have said some things that made you roll your eyes or I roll my eyes at myself sometimes, but here's the thing. When hard times come, the Bible says for us to cast our cares upon the Lord, but sometimes it feels like that our cares are holding on to us and that we can't let them go. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray over you and pray that God shows you wherever you are in whatever situation you might be in, doing a good job, or you may be saying, I can do better, or you might be saying, I have no clue. And I need to make a complete change. I think it just depends on the day. It depends on the time, the hour. So let's pray. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that we are not alone in this world. God, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, for our shame, for our healing. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give us the strength to not look back. And to always keep our eyes on you. Because when we're looking in the past, we can't even see the good things that you have for our life. Number one, we ask you for forgiveness. We repent of the times that we look back. I thank you, Jesus, that because of you, we have a second chance and we aren't turned into pillars of salt anymore. But we get chance after chance after chance. So, Lord, I ask you that you would lead and guide us, hold on to us as we hold on to you. I thank you for all the moms out there. I ask that you would give them a special blessing. Lord, and I lift up those who may have lost their mother recently, those who have lost children, those who have miscarried. God, those who are infertile and they are longing for a child, those who have stepchildren, those who are spiritual mothers. I lift them up to you right now. I thank you for them. I thank you for your peace and your comfort and your rest that is being given to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you stayed with me for this long. I hope you did. And I wanted to leave you with a blessing. And of course, I looked up all the biblical ones and everything. But then I also found this Irish blessing that I thought it was really cool. So I will read this over you. May embers from the hearth warm your hands. May sunshine from an Irish or Lake Charles guide warm your face. May a child's bright smile warm your heart, and may everlasting love warm your soul. And I pray that you find that hope and everlasting love in Jesus today. Happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you next week.